Today we're going to talk about the transition from the Tanaim to the Amoraim, and we'll focus on Rav and Shmuel. Now, what was Eretz Yisrael like after the death of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? So during the end of the second and the beginning of the third century, when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi ruled in Judea, it was a time of economic prosperity. It was a time of good relations with Rome. And at that time, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi compiled and edited the Mishnah. But the 50 years after the end of the Robet Severin dynasty in 235 was a period of crisis, confusion, and deterioration throughout the Roman Empire. Rome was unsuccessful in repelling the invasions of the Teutonic peoples to the west and the Parthians to the east following the rise of the Sassanid dynasty in Persia in the beginning of 230. Countries that were centers of Roman rule in the east were conquered. For example, Antioch was sacked a number of times, but the Persian conquerors never extended their campaigns beyond or to the borders of Eretz Yisrael. It's unclear if the Jews sided with the Persians in some respect. In fact, there is evidence that the Jews of a particular town put up strong resistance when Shapur, a Persian leader, captured the town in 252, and 12,000 Jews were put to the sword. Now, the anti-Persian attitude may be explained by the fact that the rise of the Sassanid dynasty, or the Sassanids, the rise was accompanied by a Persian religious and national revival that, at least at first, led to the persecution of other religions, including the Jews of Babel. During this period in Eretz Yisrael, emperors and pretenders rose and fell by the dozen, and this resulted in the collapse of an administration that never firmly was established in all parts of the empire. Security was weak, even in the towns and villages, and certainly in the high roads, and the economic conditions, particularly commerce between different provinces, suffered. During the third century, we did not hear of religious or political persecution, but there, as I mentioned, there are complaints of hardship and security of money, and during this time in Eretz Yisrael, in large parts, because of the different types of taxes that were imposed on the people. Every time a new emperor rose, a new tax was levied. Taxes were imposed to finance warring parties, and therefore, in a period of anarchy, the tax burden was very onerous. And the main sufferer from the upheavals that followed was the farmer. And these taxes were so burdensome that we hear of few Jewish settlements in Eretz Yisrael, and we hear of mass immigration for primarily because of economic reasons. And it was during this time that the diasporic communities began to flourish. Now, the most significant diasporic community at this time was in Babel, in Babylonia. And some of Babylonia's great cities, such as Nardai, Mechoza, and the others, were entirely or almost entirely populated, maintained, and defended by Jews. The Mishnah, for example, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet, when it describes about a time when, in communicating to the Jewish nation about when the new month was, whether it was 29 days or 30 days, whether the previous month was 29 days or 30 days. So the Mishnah describes how they would initially send different bonfires from one mountain to another mountain, highlighting or notifying the people. And the end of the Mishnah says that they would keep on doing this, Achihei roa kol ha-gula lefanav kibidu rasayish, that they would light up various mountains, one to the other, to notify, until one would see the entire Gola like a furnace or like a bonfire. And Avadya Mibar Tanura explains that what's Kol HaGola? B'nei Babel, the people of Babel. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Gilvud Aleph, states that the Gola is specifically Pumbedisa. It's one of the cities, one of the old cities that were in Babel. Babel's modern day Iraq. Most of the Jewish cities were either off the Euphrates River or the Tigris River. Now, the The Jews of Bavel regarded themselves as the guardians of the Jewish tradition and Jewish lineage and yichus, in the same way that, in the sense that they had not married with, proselytized with Gabriel, whose conversion was suspect, with foreign slaves who had not been fully emancipated, with Mamzerim, and anyone who had suspect lineage. In the Geret Rav Shira Gaon, which is a Gaonic historic work, which describes the history of the Babylonian community post-Korban Bayis Rishon, so there it describes that when the Jewish people, the Bnei Yisrael, were exiled about 11 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash under the reign of Yechoniah, so many, much of the aristocracy of the Jewish people who were ruling Yerushalayim at that time were exiled. They established shuls in Nahar Dai, and they brought with them the stones and the dirt from the Beis HaMikdash, and they called the shul Beit Knishta Dash V'Yosef. The literally means, and he slipped, means he slipped away and settled in Bavel. In other words, Shenasa Beis HaMikdash V'Yosef Sham Kan, as if the Shechina left the Beis HaMikdash and came to Bavel. And so they felt that Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, as it were, Ma'aseh Merkava Yecheskel, left Yerushalayim and settled in Bavel, and this was, in some sense, the center of the Jewish people after the Churban Bayis Rishon, and the Jewish people were still there. There were no high-level yeshivos. There were what was called mesiftos. There were only mesiftos in Eretz Yisrael. They had sidros in Bavel. Seems that, we don't know much about this, but it seems that sidros was a lower-level type of school. The sidra really did not have a Rosh Yeshiva who wielded the authority the same way as we hear of the mesifta. Some say the sidra originated as a gathering to study the weekly Parsha on Shabbos. And we don't know much about the Babylonian Jewish community until the end of the second century. A great spiritual upsurge occurred in Bavel in the second half of the second century as a result of emigration from Eretz Yisrael after the failed Bar Kokhba revolt and the persecutions that followed it. We've already discussed some attempts of the Babylonians to declare their independence from Eretz Yisrael, such as when Hananiah, the nephew of Rishu ben Korcha, began to proclaim the new moon in the middle of the second century, when the Jews in Eretz Yisrael were forbidden from doing so, but eventually backed down. That whole story is found in Maseches Brachos Daf, Savach Gimel Amud Aleph. Many Babylonians went to study in Eretz Yisrael, and then they returned to Bavel. And a primary example was Abba Aricha, generally known as Rav or Rabbeinu. And his return to Bavel in the year 219 was the turning point in the spiritual, halachic, and the really juridical development of the community. He was called Rav because he was the Rav of the entire diaspora community. His name was officially, as mentioned, Abba Aricha, perhaps because he was very tall. There was a line in the Gemara about how much taller he was than his student, but not so clear if this is literal or figurative or metaphorical. He is the nephew of Rav Chia, the colleague of Rebbe, who together with Rav Oshaya wrote the Tosefta. Rav went with his uncle when his uncle came to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, and he lived in the shadow of Rav Chia. Eventually, Rav grew in prominence, and Rabbi Yochanan writes of a time when Rav was Rebbe's primary student. Nevertheless, Rav learned from others, Sumchus, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, and Rav also gained knowledge in science and medicine. In fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Heyam and Beis, tells us how he associated with hunters and shepherds to learn info from them. I cited the Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Ham and Beis. He writes that Shimona Asar Chadashim Gadalti Eitzel Roa Behema Leida Eza Mum Kavua VeEza Mum Over. He studied with shepherds for 18 months to learn what is considered a temporary blemish and what's considered a permanent blemish. A permanent blemish would disqualify an animal from being Bechor, after which time you could sell the animal. So the Gemara tells us that Rav was appointed the member of the court of Rebbe, Rav, because Rav was very diligent. He studied all different types of Torah, even mystical literature. There are statements about him making mystical statements about Maisa Bereishis. Eventually, Rav decides to return to Babel for a short period of time, seemingly to marry someone from his family. There's some hints in the Gemara as to that. And at some point, Rav returns to Eretz Yisrael. But sometime after Rebbe dies, Rav asks Rabbi Gamliel, Rebbe's son, for smicha in Bechoros. But Rabbi Gamliel doesn't give it to him. His father, Rebbe, did not give it to him. The Gemara states that the reason for this is that he was concerned that Rav was such an expert in Bechoros, in what's considered a permanent blemish and what's not, is that if they would give him authority, people would try to copy his psak halacha. But he was such an expert, so ahead of everyone else, then people would mistake his rulings, because what he saw, other people didn't see. So they didn't know. So Rebbe and Rabbi Gamliel did not want to give him smicha. But in around 219 of the Common Era, Rav returns to Bavel, and at this time he ushers in the new era of Amoraim. And ultimately, Rav almost single-handedly changes the relationship between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. The truth is, it didn't start off so well. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, describes the story of Rav coming to Bavel. The story of Shmuel and Karna, who were two elders of Bavel, suspected that he may not have been such a great scholar. So they ask him a lot of questions. And the Gemara states how Rav does not appreciate this. And after they ask him all these questions, Rav comes actually to Bavel. He has a stomachache. He's not feeling well. And they ask him all these challenging questions. Rav does not appreciate this. So Rav asks Karna. He says, Karna, what's your name? And Karna says, Karna, my name is Karna. And Rav says back to him, Amar Le. He says back to him, Yehe Rava de Tipuk. Lay Karna Be'ene. May you have a horn. May you have a horn sprout from your eye. And in the end, it did. Rav obviously did not appreciate being tested. He was not feeling well. In any case, Shmuel hosted Rav. He took care of him. And in fact, he made him suffer a little bit because he fed him barley bread, fish fried in its oil with flour, and gave him beer to drink, but he didn't show him where the bathroom was. He thought that forcing Rav to hold it would cure him. Rav did not understand Shmuel's intent. He cursed him that he should never have sons, and this was actually fulfilled again, even though later on Rav regretted it when he found out what Shmuel's intent was. Additionally, the Gemara in Yoma in Daf Chaf Amud Beis tells us that Rav originally was the translator for Rav Shila. Once Rav Shila dies, Rav was asked to fill his place as the Reish Sidra. The Inigeret Rav Shira Gaon, it describes how Rav did not want to infringe on Shmuel's territory in Nahardai. Nahardai was where Shmuel and Rav were living, and this was a center for Torah Judaism in Bavel. Shmuel did not want to take over because Rav was older. So who would take over? So Rav decides, I'm going to leave Nahardai, and I'm going to go to Surah. And the Ger Rav Shira Gaon describes Surah as a place that he says, Vahavon Yisrael Nefishe Hasam. There were many Jews living there. Vafilu Isser Veheter Lohava Yodi. They didn't even know basic Isser and Heter, basic ritual laws. Vama Rav, and Rav said, Esev Hacha, I'm going to live here. Ki Heched Lehevi Torah Bahai Duchta. So that there would be Torah in this place. Rav goes to a massive Jewish community where they were generally ignorant. And this place is called Surah. And Rav founded a great yeshiva there, a great academy there, which was to exist for 800 years. Rav introduced the Mishnah, which had just been completed, together with the system of study and many customs from Eretz Yisrael. From this point on, after Rav comes to Bavel, Bavel is ranked like Eretz Yisrael with respect to Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin establishes this in Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Rav says that Bavel Ke'eretz Yisrael Legitin. And when? For when? The Gemara says, Michi Asar al Bavel, when Rav came to Bavel. He just took Bavel to a different level because of Rav's greatness. He really was the Gadol Batorah, Gadol Hador, really in the world during this time. Many students joined Rav's Yeshiva Tzura, and during his lifetime, the custom of the Yarchi Kala was instituted. In the 2 months of the year in which work in the field came to a virtual standstill, in Adar before Pesach and Elul before Rosh Hashanah, thousands of Jews gathered at the yeshivas to study Torah from Rav. As in Israel, the curriculum was mainly based on the Mishnah. The Gemara in Ksuvos Staff Kuf Vav and Aleph states that when Rav died, Havu Paishe Alpha Masam Rabbanon, there were 12,000 students in the yeshiva, the most famous being Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna, and Rav Chista. Rav almost single-handedly created a spiritual revival. They referred to him as Rabbeinu HaGadol. He was so learned in that he had the ability to argue on other Tanaim. For example, a famous line that we find throughout the Gemara is in Erev and Daf Nun Amud Beis, Rav Tanahu Palig. Rav is equivalent as a Tana. What that means is, usually, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is viewed as the dividing line between the Tanaim and the Amoraim. After the Mishnah is completed, you cannot argue, an Amora cannot argue on a Mishnah. It's a closed book. But the exception might be first-generation Amoraim. Some could, and who some definitely, Rav could argue on the Mishnah, even though he was an Amora. Additionally, the Gemara in Be'ah, just another example of his greatness. The Gemara in Be'ah questions a Talmudic statement based on the fact that it seems to contradict Rav because he is the acknowledged leader of the diaspora. In debate with Shmuel, we rule like Rav in Isser V'Heter, in ritual law, and we rule like Shmuel in Dinei Mamonos, in financial matters. And Rav was not only a leader in halacha, but he was also a leader in liturgy. There's a reference in the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah, Perek Aleph, Daf Nun Zayin, that to the Tikiata de Rav. Rav wrote the introductions to the Psukim Machios, Echronos, and Shofros and Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, and also the Tfilos after them. Included this is the Aleinu. Of course, we have to question that as to how to reconcile with the Mishnah of the Kolbo that Aleinu was written by Yeshua. And some say that Yeshua originally wrote it, then Rav modified it by adding certain expressions that were common in the days of the Tanaim. So he sort of modified this section. In any case, Rav had a prayer that he recited at the end of Tfilah, then of what we call Shmona Esrei. And Gemara in Brachos Daf Tezayim Beis describes or lists a whole bunch of Amoraim or Tanaim who would end off their tefillah with a personal prayer, and Rav's personal prayer became part of the prayer for Birchas HaChodesh. Avihi Ratzo Mefanecha, Shem Elokeinu Shetiten Lanu Chaim Aruchim Chaim Shel Shalom, etc., etc. Rav enacted important family legislation, for example, that we find this in Brachos Daf, in Kiddushin Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, that you may not marry a woman until he sees her. You cannot meet Mekadesh your daughter when she is a minor. And there shouldn't be a major age gap between spouses. The truth is that Rav's family life wasn't so great. He didn't get along with his wife, as indicated in a number of Gemaras, in Yevamos Daf Samach Gimel Aleph, and Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. In any case, Rav dies in the year 247, and it was a time of national mourning for the Jewish community in Bavel. Just as Rebbe was the great leader which completed the era of the Tanaim, Rav was the great leader which ushered in the era of the Amoraim. The other great Amora that we'll spend a few minutes discussing during this time is Shmuel. Shmuel's father was one of the Chachmei Nahardai, one of the leaders in Nahardai. He was a silk merchant. He gave his son a great and complete education. Not only did he study Torah, but he studied medicine and astronomy as well. And Shmuel became a famous eye doctor. He developed a certain cream. And in fact, when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi became ill in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara in Bavel Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis describes how Shmuel came from Bavel to hear him, to heal him. Shmuel used his medical knowledge to issue certain halachic rulings regarding restoring a dislocated limb and setting aside certain Torah prohibitions for a new mother on Shabbos. Shmuel believed that all sicknesses were because of bad air. And Shmuel was also known for his knowledge of astronomy. That's why he's called Shmuel Yarchi Na'a, from the word Yerach, the moon. He once said in the Gemara in Barachos Tafnun Chesem and Beis, Nehirin li shmile deshmaya kishvile denardai. He says, I know the path of the sky like the path of Nardai, levar mikochva deshavit, except for shooting stars, as he's not sure what that is. He studied this profession in Bavel, where the non-Jews studied this to predict a person's future. But Shmuel disagreed that the stars could actually predict the future. Rather, he said that Ein Mazel Yisrael, that a person's good deeds could change his mazel. Based on Shmuel's knowledge of astrology, Shmuel wanted to fix a calendar so that we would never celebrate 2 days of Yom Tov. This is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Amud Beis. He in fact, put together a calendar and sent it to Rabbi Yochanan, who was in Eretz Yisrael at the time. However, Eretz Yisrael did not accept this because it would hinder Eretz Yisrael's role as center of Torah. In fact, the Gemara in the Yerushalmi in Ksuvos, Dav Chav Vav Amud Beis, states that Chazal saw the abduction of Shmuel's daughters in the conquest of Nardai in 259 CE by Papa Bar Netzer, as a punishment for what Shmuel tried to do. Shmuel's expertise was in civil matters, as mentioned before, and he was considered the expert as evidenced by the Talmudic statement that we rule like Shmuel when it comes to judicial financial matters. Some rules that were established by Shmuel were Hamotzi Mechavero Lavaraya, that the Muchsak, the one who has the money, wins out over principles of rov, of probability. Kol shenolad birshuso, alav lahavi raya. Dina demachusa dina, the relation between Torah law and secular law. And again, and the truth is, even though Rav won in debates of Isser v'Heter, in ritual law, Shmuel was considered the expert in trefos because there were medical issues involved. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Hamun Beis discusses this. The aftermath of the attack or the conquest of Nahardai in 259 was that even though Nahardai became a great cultural center of long standing during this time, during the life of Rav and Shmuel, and it underwent the revival in those days and became a great yeshiva that was headed by Shmuel, and Jewish Babylonia was divided between Sura and Nahardai, some towns adopting the rulings of the former, some the latter, sometimes Sura outshone Nahardai, and sometimes Nahardai outshone Sura. But, as mentioned, Nahardai is destroyed in 259. Shmuel had died in 254. And then this yeshiva was reestablished in Pumpadisa. So you have, essentially, when Rav first comes to Bavel in 219, the center of Judaism is Nahardai. Rav moves to Sura, pop big town, not a lot of Torah going on, but he establishes a big yeshiva, becomes a spiritual center of Bavel. Shmuel becomes a leader, Nahardai becomes a spiritual center, but eventually Nahardai is destroyed and the spiritual center moves from Nardai to Pumpadisa, and that's how we have the two great yeshivas of Sura and Pumpadisa.